You keep on going to keep on driving and improve employee engagement, which absolutely equals retention, which absolutely impacts positively your sales and your profits, because really, we're in business to make money, and we can't do it without people.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second episode of Brewing Engagement, the podcast dedicated to enhancing workplace culture, communication, and employee engagement. I'm Sithara, your host, and today we have a special guest joining us to delve into a topic that lies at the heart of every successful workplace, the importance of trust and recognition. Before we jump into that, we just want to say thanks for listening. We sincerely appreciate your continued support. Joining us today is a guest who brings over 40 years of learning and development experience with a well-known QSR, or quick service restaurant chain. Please welcome Becky Rentzel. Becky has been a driving force behind cultivating strong workplace cultures and fostering leadership development, and knows firsthand the impact of trust and recognition on employee engagement.
Hey, I'm so glad to be here. My name's Becky Rentzel. I am a newly retired learning and development leader, and I just spent over 40 years with a QSR company and working in operations and leading people and learning and development. And I'm really excited to be here to share some tips.
Brewing Engagement is brought to you by PeopleOne, the modern internet platform that connects people, consolidates knowledge, and circulates the latest news. Ask about how PeopleOne keeps your workforce informed, motivated, and autonomous. So let's set the stage a bit. How does learning and development play a role in organizational culture and organizational success? In the QSR world, how do you set frontline workers up for success?
I've supported the people that supported the frontline employees, and really with training solutions that geared towards setting them up for success. I would say the real important people are the ones that are right there at the front counter facing the customer and delivering great service. So they need help, and they need help from people like myself or corporate or somebody who's really focused on just what they need to deliver that great service. It's easy to say that the employees need training, functional training on how to do this and how to do that. And that's all well and good. I think there's so much more to the environment in the workplace that really sets them up for success. Like, you can give them a piece of paper or a checklist and say, hey, do this. That doesn't mean they're gonna get it. That doesn't mean they wanna get it. How do you give them more? So it's all about communication. Leaders need to communicate with their team. It's about making them feel part of the team. So that's trust. Like, they need to trust that they're in a safe space to work. So that's the new buzzword, maybe, might be psychological safety, but it's a true, real thing. They need to feel that it's okay to say what they want to say, to bring their whole self to work. All of these things, you can't get on a checklist. They need to feel like they're making a difference in the workplace, so therefore they need to know what the workplace is valuing. What does success look like? Again, some of those things you can put on a checklist, but nothing beats having the leaders work shoulder to shoulder and communicate and opening this environment of trust so that the employees can be successful.
It seems like so much of the secret sauce is leading by example. What's the secret to being a good leader?
You can't always change the leaders that are above you. You can change yourself. So what I would tell leaders is, be the leader you want to have lead you. And that's a golden rule, but platinum rule is also treat people the way they want to be treated. So you have to be really aware as a leader.
Leaders then need to build an experiential checklist of sorts. I asked Becky how corporate communication factors into that.
So we had to begin with the end in mind. There's so many layers, especially when you're working for a really big company. There's so many methods of communication and layers of communication. So you begin with the end in mind. And how can you make it simple accessible and understandable. And that's really what you start. And then the strategy for communication has to be reliable. You can't just send out a newsletter 1 week and then not for another two more months. People are like, that's a one-off. If you're going to have a communication strategy, make sure it's well thought out and it's executed. It's part of that trust factor, right? It's executed as designed so people can trust that the communication's coming. You're going to get more. You know where to go to get it. And it gives everyone it sets them up for success. It's even best. It's easy to go top down or communicate down, but having a method where the employees can also provide feedback, feedback, how can they communicate what they need more of? And that also helps build that trust, right? Because they're being heard.
Employees need to feel heard to cultivate a sense of trust in the workplace. Becky explained how that can impact and even shape performance.
Building performance, you know, again, so much of this has to do with leadership concepts. To know someone and where they are and what they want to achieve, whether it's in their career or what they want to achieve maybe in the next 6 months on the job. If you understand where they are and you match it with the business goals, you can help build performance by, again, meeting them where they are, having those one-on-one dialogue with them, and making sure that everyone's really truthful, honest, you give good feedback. I believe there's a difference between coach and performance feedback. Performance feedback is really, in my opinion, it's a one-time, I'm going to tell you how you're doing today. There's a lot more commitment when you're going to coach someone because you have their best interest. You're not just thinking about the moment and the business. You're really thinking about that person and how you can lift and elevate them. You got a lot of skin in the game. So I would say for performance and elevating performance, I would lean more towards coach in order to get better long-term results and help really build the talent.
So do leaders need to look inward before looking outward to build talent?
Oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. I truly believe you cannot lead others until you can lead yourself. And emotional intelligence is all about understanding yourself. What are the things that cause you to react in a certain way? And how do you monitor and self-control your reactions and building relationships with others? If I don't know what either triggers me or what my unconscious biases are, or if I don't know these things, I'm going to be totally ignorant to the other people. It's like you got to look in the mirror and see what other people are seeing. And sometimes you might need some tools and some assessments, whatever, but I'd say do whatever you can to learn what your strengths and weaknesses are so you can better lead.
I asked Becky if, in her experience, she ever noticed organizations underestimate the impact that the right type of leadership can have.
Now, I mean, I can remember in the 80s when you're working and people, it was just show up at work and you treat people however you want to treat, because there's more down the street. You can hire more people. People are not going to work for someone who doesn't care about them. And to care about them, you got to understand yourself in order to really be able to understand and connect with others. And the self-awareness, if you aren't good at self-awareness, find somebody who's good at telling you what your blind spots are if you truly want to get better. If not, You're not going to succeed in today's environment. There's too many options for people. You have to be the best leader that you can be. You have to be the best leader that people want to work with, or you're going to be alone, and you can't do it alone.
We went on to discuss how leadership can incentivize performance through employee engagement.
Oh, incentives. I laugh. Free pizza is not an incentive. It might have worked in the past. Don't get me wrong. We all love pizza, okay? We all love t-shirts and whatever the giveaway is. But that's not really employee engagement. Employee engagement is when the employees feel like they're part of the bigger team. They want to go to work and make a difference. If not, they're just going through the motions, and you're only going to get just certain level. They're never going to go beyond. They're just going to make it through the day. But truly engaged employees are those that really want the best interest of the business, and it's up to the leader to really provide things that are more palatable. So let's say for employee engagement incentives, you might make sure everyone has like performance feedback, but give them a target. And when they hit that target, then celebrate. And it can be just, hey, everyone gather around, this great thing happened, which trust me means a lot more than a slice of pizza in the break room saying good job team. It's specific to the individual and makes them feel like they're on cloud nine. The leader needs to do that. Another incentive that's really good is a thoughtful plan incentive that everyone has a chance to buy into and challenge. Everyone likes to compete, or not everyone, but a lot of people do. And if they know in advance, here's the incentive, here's the program we're gonna do, what's in it for me, that WIFM, I always say, what's in it for me, make sure there's a WIFM for the employees, whether it's a financial gain or a promotion or something. That's how you get people engaged. Make them part of the solution instead of part of the problem, I always say. They're going to be more engaged.
So do rewards and recognition play a similar role?
Yeah, rewards and recognition. I think that the ones that are communicated and fair, you get the most mileage. You're not just... I'm going to say there are some toxic environments where leaders just give a reward, a bonus or whatever to like their favorite person. You know what? That is an employee engagement killer. That's something that people are going to talk about at the water cooler or text, even during a meeting, people texting, can you believe that just happened? But if everyone knows and they all have a fair shot, that's a good reward. And recognition, it doesn't have to be $1 million. It can be, I'm going to stand up at a meeting and I'm going to call on some unsung heroes, some people that people have not realized are doing all this great work behind the scenes. They're going to leave feeling so good, and they're going to tell their family, they're going to feel so much value, they're going to be excited to come in the next day. So it's not necessarily about the amount you spend. It's about the fairness, the communication, the trust, all of those things that really make good leadership anyway.
Rewards and recognition play an important role, but so does the expectation of equity and fairness, that sense of trust. I asked Becky what organizations can expect to gain from building trust and employee engagement.
Oh, yeah. I think they should have measurement. Employee engagement scores, that's something that I would say everyone would want to know how their employees are engaged, and you can even survey them, but get a before, put an action plan in place, and then get an after, and then it's not over. You keep on going to keep on driving and improve employee engagement, which absolutely equals retention, which absolutely impacts positively your sales and your profits, because really, we're in business to make money, and we can't do it without people.
Is that why more and more organizations are adopting communication and engagement platforms?
The communication is like step one for employee engagement. You have to set expectations or share, and it's two-way communication. So having a platform where people can receive and give communication, it's paramount, especially today, where everything's moving 100 miles an hour, maybe 1,000 miles an hour. And before, when you would go from snail mail to waiting, people would tap their feet at the fax machine, like, how quickly can this come? Now, instantly, we open up our messages and we have a lot every day. So not only having a platform, but maybe a platform where they can pick and choose the messages that are most important to them, that's a real win right there.
How important is it for employees to feel like they're speaking the same language as their leaders?
It's about inclusivity. And if people don't feel like they're speaking the same language, they don't know what's the most important thing, they're going to feel excluded, and hence they're going to be disengaged, hence they're going to turn over, and you got to hire and start all over again. So I would say it's about bringing everyone together.
Speaking of turnover, how can organizations reduce it, and why should they care?
I'll start with the why should they care. It's about the bottom line. In the industry where I came from, one employee who turns over, even a frontline employee, is worth thousands of dollars in lost opportunity. You spent that much time in training and getting them onboarded, and then you turn them over? That's bad business. You can't solve a problem you don't know is there. So it's important to track it, find out why people are leaving, conduct exit interviews, whatever you have to do. But again, just like a sales target, a turnover target should be one that you want to continually decrease, and decrease because you need to retain your staff. Identify where the pain point is. Let's say you have multiple leaders, different venues or different sites. One could be really bringing the whole organization down because they're turning over people a lot. That's one you want to pay attention to. And maybe bring in best practices of the ones that are succeeding, and you can share all of the best practices, but you got to peel back the onion. I guess that's such an overused statement, but it really applies here. You got to find out where the problem is and then make a plan and solve the problem.
I was curious how often Becky saw disengagement contribute to turnover.
In my 40 years, every year, every week, unfortunately, it happens at all levels, not just the frontline employees, but top executives. If they don't feel like they are valued, they're going to leave. There's only so much that they're going to put up with, and they're going to find something where they can be fulfilled when the time is right. It may not be tomorrow or the next day. They're looking. Let's really put this engagement thing, put a bow on it, and say, if it's truly important to you and your business to build the business and to have excellent talent, you got to know where your engagement is. You got to know where things are with your people, or you're just going to lose them.
Speaking of talent retention, what about those who say that frontline employees aren't considered top talent?
That's so sad. Yeah, they are so talented, and that's just the beginning. For many, it could be their very first job, and then next thing, one of my friends, it was her very first job, and now she's a judge. It makes a difference. Both of my kids, this was their first job in the QSR industry, and they are so much better today at what they do in other businesses, in other jobs, because they learned about customer satisfaction and how to be polite and how to be patient. And unfortunately, they're not always treated with the respect that they deserve. They are hardworking employees. Everyone is. And everyone should be treated as top talent.
Becky and I discussed employees needing to feel valued for them to stay with their organizations. I asked Becky how companies can track or quantify feeling valued and develop policies or take action based on data.
Yeah, the data is the most important way to get factual information. Again, you would use employee engagement surveys, scores. You might do one-on-ones, although that's probably more qualitative. It's a discussion, but you need the data so that you can measure it. Different businesses score them different. It could be, based on my experience, it might be from 0 to 100, 100 being like a high engagement, something like you would get graded in school. And there's questions like, do you feel valued? This is a safe place to work. I can bring my whole self to work. I have training. I have the tools and resources to do my job. You're asking all these questions, then you're measuring what this overall score is. And then you say, oh my gosh, we're really weak in their training, let's say. We're gonna put a plan together. We're gonna measure it again. So you're continuously improving on that. There's so many best in the industry that you can benchmark from. I just wouldn't hesitate to not do it ASAP. And you want it to be really safe. So you don't necessarily, like an anonymous survey, for example, is really safe. You don't want to necessarily pay people to take the survey because then people might just rush through and click and not really tell you what's on their heart.
As we wrapped up our conversation, I asked Becky for her final thoughts on building a successful work environment.
One thing that I didn't really mention, but it's an underlying theme, is you gotta have fun. You, as a leader, you can create the safest, most trusting workspace, but if people aren't having fun, then there's something missing. Whether for me, it was take an improv class, which I tell people all the time, improv comedy changes lives. It allows you to realize that you don't have to take yourself so seriously. You're okay to make mistakes, you can listen, and you can have fun. And leaders need to know they're not perfect. They're gonna make mistakes. They should laugh at themselves. They should listen to their people and just create a smile, fun atmosphere in the day.
And one last huge thank you to Becky Rentzel.
I mentioned that I retired recently from 40 years worth of business in corporate America. Now I'm not really retired. I really just switched channels. And right now I'm doing coaching, leadership coaching, and team building workshops. I'm bringing all of everything that I learned to leaders to help prevent toxic workplaces. I'm on the web, www.rgrentzelgalaviesleadership.com. Yeah, hit me up, and I'm happy to connect with anyone and share all of this wisdom that I have bottled up in me.
In today's world, the key to workplace success lies in fostering authentic trust and recognition. Let's continue to explore innovative ways to keep our teams engaged and thriving. Thank you for tuning in to Brewing Engagement. We hope the insights shared today inspire a more engaged day-to-day and empower your workforce to stay engaged, connected, and productive. Before we sign off, remember, the journey to a more engaged workforce starts with each one of us taking proactive steps to foster trust and recognition. As we wrap up, let's keep the conversation going. Subscribe to Brewing Engagement and stay tuned for more compelling conversations each month. Together, let's continue to brew a workplace culture where engagement knows no boundaries. Brewing Engagement is brought to you by PeopleOne, the modern internet platform that connects people, consolidates knowledge, and circulates the latest news. Ask about how PeopleOne keeps your workforce informed, motivated, and autonomous.